Hey everybody, and welcome back to Storytime with Shade. Thank you one and all for everybody who chooses to listen to this, anybody that shared it around. We are finally at the end of The Door in the Woods. I didn't release one last week because I wanted to have the end all done. I didn't want to stretch it out anymore, so here are the last few chapters. Thank you again to everybody who's listened. We've got a special announcement at the end for our sponsor, but we'll leave that until after for now. Without any further ado, we're just going to jump right into the end of The Door in the Woods. So here we go. Chapter 28. Sam waved to his mom as she pulled away from the house, and then put the key in the ignition. He had only driven Jay's car the one time, and he was less than pleased about it, but Sam figured under the circumstances he would eventually forgive him. He checked the back seat to make sure that Jay was still properly fastened in. It didn't look comfortable, but he would be safe. His hands were tied behind his back, but the seatbelt was on tightly. "Okay, Sam, you got this," he said, as he put his foot down on the pedal and the car lurched into motion. The first few minutes were uneventful as Sam tried his best to ignore his friend who was tied in the back seat. Soon, though, he evidently recovered from his blow to the head and became conscious once more. He dazedly opened his eyes and said, "Sam? Sam, what's going on? Why am I tied up?" Sam glanced in the rearview mirror quickly before returning his eyes to the road. "We're going to the door, Jay." A moan escaped Jay's lips before he whined, almost pleaded, at Sam. "No, please. I can't ever go back there. Please don't take me back there." Sam sighed before saying, "We have to. Just one last time." Jay suddenly erupted, and it was a small relief to Sam, who was starting to wonder if he was doing the right thing.
"Fuck! Fuck you! Fuck you! Don't you dare take me back there! I'll fucking kill you! You have no idea what you're doing, you little shit! You think a child like you can defeat me? Can save your friend?"
Sam smiled. "Yeah, I do." Louise was worried that Rob wouldn't be able to hold on. He was looking frighteningly pale, and his breaths were labored.
"Hang on," she said as she accelerated, pushing her car to its limit. She didn't want a death on her conscience.
Part of her dreaded that she had made a mistake leaving her son alone with that thing. And yet she couldn't quite explain the confidence she had in Sam, who reminded her so much of his father. For some reason, she believed in him. Chapter 29. Sam pulled the car to a loud, screeching stop at the entrance to the woods. Jay wriggled against his restraints to no avail as he was pulled from the car. Sam had to avoid a kick as he got him out.
"Stop," Sam said calmly.
Jay let out a yell and tried to take a chunk out of Sam's neck with his teeth, but tied the way he was, Sam was able to maneuver around him and get him in a hold similar to one that a prison guard would use on an inmate. Sam pushed him forwards, being guided more by instinct than memory, deeper into the woods. It was complete darkness for the first few minutes, and they were slowed down by Jay's incessant struggling, but he soldiered on, and eventually his eyes adjusted to the dim. As they got closer to the doorway, the shadow inside of Jay started to bellow loudly, an inhuman scream that escaped from Jay's lips in a voice like nothing Sam had ever heard. He managed to resist the struggling and pushing back of Jay and made it soon to the clearing,
where the doorway was waiting for them, a pit of absolute blackness so deep that it seemed to stretch on for an eternity. Sam didn't hesitate. The once terrifying figure that had taken control of Jay let out another shriek, this one of absolute terror, as Sam walked them both through the doorway. The blackness that surrounded Sam was endless in all directions. He looked around to find that not only could he not see the ground, but he couldn't even make out his hands in front of his face. He called out into the darkness, but it made no sound. He tried to scream, and even felt the pressure and the pain in his throat, but again no sound escaped. He reached forward, blind, and started to take small, hesitant steps, waving his hands in front of him, searching for something solid and finding nothing. He tried calling out for Jay, but he couldn't hear anything, not even a faint ring in his ears or his own heartbeat. He couldn't see anything but an endless black in all directions, and unlike the woods themselves, in this place his eyes wouldn't adjust. He had a terrifying notion that this might be death. For what seemed like hours, Sam walked onwards, never finding a wall or any type of incline up or down. Just a flat, black void that stretched endlessly onwards. He called out mutely to Jay, his father, anyone, but received no reply. Stuck in a place beyond heaven or hell, life or death, Sam could sense the absolute despair starting to sink in. What had he done? Was this the end? As Jay went through the door in the woods, he felt something being ripped from his body like a set of skin, and he screamed in agony, though it came out silent. He could just barely make out a dark, squirming mass a few feet away from him, and he scrambled away from it in horror as it reached around blindly with a multitude of waving limbs and tendrils that seemed to be searching for purchase. Jay, though confused and petrified, felt in control of himself for the first time in a long time and did the only thing he could think of: run from that thing on the floor before it found some way back inside of him. He sprinted blindly through the dark, unsure if he was moving at all. He couldn't feel any wind in his hair, and although he felt the burn in his legs as well as himself breathing, he couldn't be sure if he was actually moving or making any sort of progress. It all felt like a terrifying dream, one that he couldn't awake from. Not all was lost in the darkness, however. Both of the boys had someone looking after them in the black. They had both been stuck there since their deaths with no hope of escaping and no chance of moving on. When people died in this town, they were collected here, like bugs in a jar, and there they stayed. The occasional glimpse may be seen from the dark, a temporary vision through the veil, but often they would only serve as a source of more despair, a reminder of the life that they no longer had a part of. Things began to change, however, when two boys found what seemed to be the entrance to this eternally dark land, and as they meddled, the veil began to lift. It started slowly at first, but as the stops became more frequent, it was almost as if a tear was being made in the doorway, through which things could enter, and also leave. Sam's father had taken advantage of this and slipped through the doorway in an attempt to see his wife. He had been successful, but as time wore on, he felt himself being pulled back, torn back to that dark place in the woods. He couldn't resist it. He couldn't escape. He felt his son when he entered the darkness, and was horrified that his time may have come too soon. A wave of relief swept over him as his eyes found Sam wandering in the dark. In all his time here, he had never seen another soul, which led him to believe that Sam was not dead, but visiting.
Sam!
He yelled into the darkness.
Dad!
Sam yelled back, again unable to hear his own voice. It seemed, however, that his father could hear him because he responded.
Sam, I'm here. You have to get out now, before you get stuck here.
Sam spun in the dark, searching all around him for the source of the voice, unable to locate its origin. It was as if the voice was coming from all around him, or within him.
Where are you?
Listen, Sam. Something got through the darkness and into your friend. We aren't alone in here. There's something keeping people here, and you have to get out before it keeps you too.
I can't leave without Jay!
A woman's voice suddenly spoke from the darkness, and although it startled Sam, he knew immediately who the voice belonged to. Jay's mother.
We will help you get free of here, Sam. However, we need you to do something for us as well.
Anything!
Sam said. Chapter 30. Sam and Jay emerged from the portal as if out of thin air. One moment the clearing was absolutely still, the next they were sprawled on the ground. They each landed with force, and although the pain wasn't pleasant, both of them felt an unspoken relief that they could hear the ground when they hit it, and that there was a ground. They sat up slowly, Jay delicately touching his nose and squinting painfully every time he did.
What the fuck happened to my face?
Sam chuckled and then hugged Jay.
Oh fuck, I'm so glad you're okay. You are okay, right? How do you feel?
Sam let go of Jay and helped him to his feet. The forest was getting brighter, and it seemed to be mid-morning as they looked around, and Jay said,
Better? My nose kills, but yeah, better. A lot better. Thanks.
Did you hear your mom in there?
Jay nodded.
Yeah. You hear your dad?
Mm-hmm,
he said, eyeing the space between the trees where they had entered and later emerged from. There didn't seem to be anything there, right now at least. But Sam knew once nightfall came, the portal to that dark, hopeless place would be open once more.
We have to get rid of it somehow, Sam said, motioning to the empty space that would later become the door in the woods.
Yeah, I've got an idea about that, actually, Jay said, pausing briefly before continuing. It's kind of a stupid idea, but it's the only one I've got. They walked to Jay's car, discussing the possible repercussions to what they were planning, as well as if it would even work. They both agreed that though there may be serious consequences, it had to be done. Nothing could ever come through from that place again. As they reached the area where Sam had parked Jay's car, towards the end of the woods in a small little pull-off from the road, they spotted Sam's mother, asleep in her car. She had evidently driven her own car around trying to find them after dropping Rob off at the hospital. She had a vague idea of where they might be, and it didn't take her long to find Jay's car. But she didn't dare venture into the woods with no idea of where she was going in the dark. So she had parked and fallen asleep. Sam went to knock his knuckles on the window to wake her, but Jay stopped him. We should just do this first. Yeah, okay. He followed Jay to the trunk of his car. My dad put this in here. Wanted to make sure I was never stranded and out of gas. It's really thoughtful of him, actually. I hope he's okay. Wonder if he'll ever trust me again. He said as he lifted a blanket from the trunk and revealed a large red canister full of gasoline. Let's just hope you don't set the whole town on fire, Sam said as they headed back, one final time, to the door in the woods. Chapter 31. Sam watched in silence, sitting on the knocked-down tree in front of the door in the woods as Jay dumped gasoline on the two trees that made the doorway. The smell was strong, and Sam was surprised at how much gas one of those canisters was able to hold. But eventually it started running out, and Jay let it empty across the ground between the two trees. When he was done, he turned to Sam with silent tears in his eyes. You know, I never got to see my mom again. Sam opened his mouth to speak, but couldn't find any words that might console his friend. Jay continued. I almost got us both killed just to see her again. It's not your fault, Jay. You do know that, right? Anyone in your position would have done the same thing. Yeah, maybe, he said solemnly. I don't know what I'm going to do if my dad isn't okay. It was silent for a moment before a small morning wind blew through the trees. Jay wiped the tears from his eyes before turning to Sam again. What the fuck was that place? What was inside of me? Sam shook his head. I'm not sure, but I don't think it's the afterlife or a portal to it. I feel like whoever or whatever created this doorway did it to trap people, the souls of people in this town. Why? Jay asked, and Sam shrugged in response. All I do know is that our parents, and who knows how many other people, all those people you've seen over the years, are stuck there, like we were. Only they can't leave. Jay nodded. And that's why we have to do this. He picked up a stick from the ground with a few leaves on the end and fished a small lighter out of his pants pocket. He held the lighter's small flame to the end of the branch until it started to burn, and then tossed it at the door in the woods. The boys both took a few steps back as the trees ignited, and watched as thick black smoke started to plume into the orange morning sky. Sam couldn't be sure, but he felt like he could see people in the smoke, finally being released from their endless torment. Black, shadowy shapes flew through the smoke into the sky, and he somehow knew that his father was amongst them, flying free. They watched in silence for a couple minutes before Jay nudged Sam, breaking him away from the hypnotic dance of spirits in the smoke. We should go. It's spreading, he said to Sam, while he reached into his pocket to retrieve a small crumpled pack of cigarettes. He held one out to Sam, who took it without question. He didn't plan on becoming a smoker, but he sure felt like he could use one now. They walked away with their back to the fire, both of them enjoying a cigarette. It would be Sam's last. They didn't look back until they reached the cars. They weren't sure if they would get caught or blamed. Neither of them really cared. Okay, I'm gonna go to the hospital and find my dad. Hopefully there isn't a warrant out for my arrest, and maybe they can make my nose straight again, but I'll call you later, okay? Yeah, of course. Let me know how it all goes, Sam said. He watched Jay get in his car and drive away before he turned to his mother's car and rapped lightly on the window. Her eyes fluttered open and she scrambled to roll down her window and unlock the doors.
What? Wait, what happened? Is that smoke?
Sam circled the car, feeling happier than he had since before he could remember, and sat down in the passenger seat. I'll tell you on the way, Mom. We have to go. Louise put her car into motion, and as they drove away, Sam watched in the rearview mirror as the woods went up in flames. Epilogue. Sam and Jay were playing video games together when a knock came on Jay's door. "It's open!" he cried as they continued to shoot zombies without looking towards the door. Rob entered the room with Louise close behind. Rob sighed, and Louise, clearly exasperated, said, "We've called you like 10 times, guys. Supper's ready." "Okay, just a second, Mom," Sam said. "We're almost on this level." "The food is cold when you guys decide to join us. That's your problem," Rob said, as him and Louise walked out of the room and closed the door behind them. The boys soon finished their game and went downstairs for their new weekly ritual, having dinner together on Sunday before the school week started. Rob and Louise had become good friends since the incident, which he was healing fine from, and they all laughed and joked as if they had known each other much longer than the few weeks that they had. After dinner, Sam asked if he could stay later and told his mother that he would walk home. She told him that was fine, but to get home before it was too late. They went back up to Jay's room, where they played a little bit more of their game before turning it off. As he was getting ready to go, Sam couldn't help but point out the large blank spot on the wall where the corkboard of death had been. "Do you miss it?" he asked. Jay was silent for a few moments before he said, "Yeah, kind of. I just wish we knew that we did the right thing. What if we did let our parents go? Did we also let other things go, too?" "There's no point dwelling on that, dude," Jay responded. Sam sighed. "Yeah, I guess you're right. Anyways, I'm gonna head out. I should probably get home before it gets too dark." "The city belongs to the dark," Jay said. He didn't think much of it at the time, thought that maybe it was a macabre reference to all the deaths that had happened in their small city, which Jay had once kept track of on a large corkboard in his room. As he was walking home, however, he remembered where he had heard that phrase before, and as he thought of the line that followed, a chill ran down his spine. "The city belongs to the dark, and the dark will take it." The end. Okay, and that is it, everyone, for The Door in the Woods. I really hope you guys enjoyed it. It's been one of my favorite stories to write. It actually ended up being a lot longer than I intended. I started with a very small plot synopsis and a few things that I wanted to happen, and it quickly turned into one of the longest things I've written that's done as of right now. So thank you so much to anyone who's listened through the whole story. I really hope you guys liked it. And I do actually have some really exciting news. Before I let you guys go for this week, we do actually have our sponsor, Orange Hat Film Productions. They set an official release date for their film. I couldn't be more excited to go see it myself. It's premiering in London at the Western Film Theater on October 19th at 1 p.m. It's called 44 Caliber, and if you're in the area at all, please go check it out and support them. It's $10 at the door to get in. They'll also be selling some Blu-rays early, so you can snag a copy. If you want any more information or to check out some of their other content that they've already got out for free, you can go to orangehatfilmproductions.com or just search any of their social media handles, Orange Hat Film Productions on Facebook or Instagram. You'll be able to find them, but go check them out, please. They've been more than generous in helping out and supporting my podcast. So again, big shout out to them. And thank you again so much, everybody. We're actually going to be back next week with a brand new episode. of a brand new story. And I couldn't be more excited to start something else with you guys. Again, I really hope you guys like this story, and I hope you guys enjoy what I keep coming out with you. I only have plans to keep improving this podcast. So if there's any suggestions, anything at all, any tips or anything that anyone wants to throw it at me, I'm all ears. But again, thank you so much for being here. We'll see you next week. And until then, have a good one.